I'll do my own introduction scene, then I'll be falling asleep, so come on, chop, chop. My name is Rizwan Sabir. I'm from Nottingham. I'm here for two reasons. One, to talk about the wider implications of the current war on terror against young British Muslims, especially of a Pakistani origin. And secondly, as a representative and as a helper for the Justice for the Northwest 10. In May of last year, I was detained under the Terrorism Act and held for 6 days with a friend of mine, Hisham Yezza, who is currently serving a 9-month sentence, a criminal charge sentence, for securing avoidance of some kind of technical jargon that I don't understand. He's in prison at the moment. He's, fingers crossed, going to be released within the next month, only to be probably denied his freedom because he will not be given bail because his court case against his immigration thing is still going on. But before I come to that, it's quite interesting where we're sitting today, because when I was coming here and I was driving here, I saw the BT Tower. It's not far from here, all the locals will know. And last year I was doing some reading about Northern Ireland and Republican terrorism. That was the first building that they blew in London when they brought their war to British mainland. After that, they had a subsequent campaign of terrorism where they bombed numerous shopping centres throughout the country. They bombed Canary Wharf. They fired mortars from vans at Downing Street while Prime Minister was inside in the briefing room and he got the garden. Some of you probably think it was Conservative, so it would have been a good job, but we won't go down there. But the point is that never did the British state... I mean, some of the policies, don't get me wrong, were quite draconian, internment. But what you had was never this blatant and overt practice of institutional racism being carried out by institutions such as the Home Office or the police force. What you've got now, what the difference is between the Northern Ireland threat and the British threat, is that you can racially profile the Muslim threat. And it's ignorant, because Muslims don't come brown and black. They come white, they come green, they come yellow. You know, it's a diverse religion. It affects everyone, or it can be anybody can be a part of it. But the point is that this one group now is being picked on by the state, and Hisham's case quite clearly highlights this, and it ties in quite nicely, or shall I say, I mean, that's the wrong word to use, to be honest, but it ties in very closely to the Northwest chaps that were arrested. And when they were arrested, I was sitting on my laptop doing some work, and I had the news next to me. I'm guilty of watching News 24. And I saw it, and it was breaking news, and you know, the lady was like, we just had some breaking news, some terrorists have just been arrested. And I was thinking, all right, okay. And then they said that they were all foreign nationals. And the minute they said this, I thought, right, I know what's going to happen with this. I'm not Mystic Meg, but I do have an element of common sense. And from looking at the statistics of the individuals that have been arrested, most of them are released without charge. And usually when they're foreign immigrants, they are usually locked away again on immigration charges, very spurious arguments or charges, and threatened with deportation. That's exactly what's happened to the Northwest 10. And it's quite worrying how the state is being allowed to carry out this overt practice of xenophobia. Hisham was also arrested on immigration. After we were released after 6 days, he was rearrested on immigration. So I know how the protocol works. Once the ball is rolling in the Home Office, there's no stopping it. But one advantage that this campaign has is that the amount of media coverage that it got. When Gordon Brown is talking with the Pakistani Prime Minister in Pakistan, talking about the Northwest 10, you've got a lot of coverage, and you should use that positively. Unfortunately, we didn't have that much coverage. It was just two crazy people in Nottingham downloading stuff off an American subversive website, the Department of Justice, so, you know. But the campaign is very good in this way, that it's already had a lot of media attention, and you should use that. And once the ball's rolling against the Home Office, they start panicking. Because when we all overwhelmed the Home Office with letters, and it was usually a template like the one that's on the website as well, when we overwhelmed them with letters saying that, look, this is wrong, you can't deport Hisham, what they did is they kept on delaying the hearings then, and delaying the hearings. And what that meant to the campaign was very good. It was very positive. We was like, we know they're on the back foot. And certain rogue elements within the Home Office, who I won't name, they were telling us that they're on their back foot and they don't like this. So you're succeeding. Keep the media campaign going. Keep the campaign going. Keep selling Krispy Kreme donuts that I used to sell to fundraise. You need to do that. You need to use that media coverage that you've already had, as in the campaign. A lot of you need to start talking about this, whether that's in the mosque, be careful what you say in the mosque, or the pub, or the university lectures, or seminars, or wherever it is. You know, even in the car, talk to yourself. You need to talk about this, and you need to get the ball rolling. You've got to remember that. I never knew that, but what Asim said is quite interesting. Will you take these guys back? Now, he's probably a rogue element of the ISI that I have no sympathy or love for, but don't tell me he's your uncle. But the point is that you can apply that pressure on these institutions, and as Gareth said, as hard as they are to fight, the point is that you can win. And she knows quite well after the Guildford Four that it is possible to fight the state. And that's what we need to do here as helpers or believers in the state of justice that this country is meant to represent. You know, secret trials and all these things, they fly in the face of due process and the rule of law. This is meant to be the basic fundamental tenet of our society. And it's being fallen flat on its face by governments passing legislation through the overt, or shall I say covert, trying to cover up basically their real objectives with this whole terrorism malarkey. We need to carry on fighting the state through obviously democratic means and try and bring these people who have been locked away for a very long time now. 6 days felt like 6 years. I dread to think what 3 months feels like. They need to be out in the open. They need to be able to finish their studies. They need to get back to their lives, and most important of all, they need to speak to their parents, who are probably going through turmoil right now. And with that bombshell of a note, I'll leave you. Thank you.